Praise God. Well, good morning, church. Anointed Church of Jesus Christ. Just say, oh, do you know what? If you're not within distance of being able to say to the person next, you say it to yourself, Jesus is in me. The greater one is in me. Praise God. Well, the Lord is wanting to restore the activity of the Holy Spirit in His church. I love to think that we are His. We're not just the church. We are His church. We're His people. And He is wanting to restore the activity, the life and the working and the activity, the action of the Holy Spirit in us, in you and me, really to transform us so that the world see that God is real. It's like a pulling back. He wants to pull back the curtain so that people in the world see God is real. God is real, and I need to know the God that you know. PJ actually said earlier, the church of Jesus Christ, he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. And the way he will not prevail against us is when you and me are active with the life of the Holy Spirit. You know, the enemy can kind of push back and push against when the Holy Spirit's a bit quiet and kind of dormant in our lives. But when he is working and active, he can't do that. He tries, but he can't. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us when we are alive, really alive, hearing and seeing the things of God. We need him. I have never been more convinced that I need him. Not the theory of him, but the real him. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about the day of Pentecost. Because I don't know if you've ever imagined being there on that day. There were 120 gathered in that room. And they were filled full of the Holy Spirit. You couldn't keep them quiet. It was like God in them had to get out. When they came down those stairs and spilled out onto the streets, it says there was a sound. In Acts 2, verse 6, it said there was a sound. And if you've ever been anywhere near a stadium when there's a match going on or a concert going on, there is a sound. PJ and I had the privilege years ago of going to Rwanda, and the house that we were staying in was a few miles away from a prison, and there was a revival going on in this prison. And the sound, it was a men's prison, and they would wake 5:30 in the morning and start to pray, and there was a noise. Let me tell you, it carried, and we woke at that time like, what is that? What is that noise? This kind of low level, it's almost like a thunder, low level noise. It was almost like the ground was vibrating. There was a noise, but it was a noise in the spirit. It was of these prisoners praying. And on the day of Pentecost, there was a noise that gathered a crowd. It's like the people in Jerusalem at the time, they couldn't compute that noise. What is that? What is that? They had to go and find out, what is that noise? And they were stunned and amazed. And these first members of the church were speaking in tongues, speaking in languages they'd never learned. And the visitors in Jerusalem, as they gathered, they were like, oh my goodness, he's speaking my language. They're speaking my language. She's speaking my language. And they heard them declaring the wonderful works of God. But let me tell you something else. I love this. Others mocked them and said, nah, they've been drinking. That's what it looked like. It looked like they were under the influence. The expression of God through those first disciples looked as though they had been heavily drinking in the early hours, I think, of the morning this was. And if you think about anybody that is heavily under the influence, they laugh a lot. They're smiling a lot. They'll talk to anybody. All their inhibitions have gone. They love everybody. Right? Am I right or what? That's how it is. And I want to ask you a really easy question this morning. How do you get drunk? Nobody's going to volunteer that answer, are they, in church? Well, let me tell you, you have to drink and you have to keep on drinking. Isn't that the truth? It doesn't happen with one drink or even two drinks. You have to keep on drinking. You don't have to try to get drunk. It's not hard. You just keep drinking. And a lot of people try to act filled with the Spirit. They try to look good and they try to sound good and they try to be good. And quite honestly, it's miserable. Because the things of the flesh can never produce the things of God. We just got to keep drinking of the Holy Spirit and let Him flow out of us in the way that only He can. So that it's Him. Filled full of Him. We can't help it. Like those first disciples, God just comes out. We're happy. We're smiling. We're happy to talk to people. We just love people because we're under His influence. And I want to speak this morning on two things. And that's how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I also want to speak on the gift of prophecy. Continuation, really, of what PJ was speaking on last weekend. And what had started here. Just raise your hand if you received a word that was encouraging last weekend. If you were here, I'm sure, hoping people at home as well. Yeah, the majority of you. There was a buzz. There was like, you could feel, sense the life and energy of God in the room here. And the Lord wants all of us prophesying, because essentially what prophecy does is it builds people up. And you don't need me to tell you, I think one of the enemy's main preoccupations is to discourage and to pull down. He spends a lot of time discouraging and pulling people down, whether you're saved or not. Just lies of the enemy, accusation of the enemy, just discouraging stuff, just to undermine, just to push you down. And the Lord just wants to lift, and He wants to build up, and He wants to encourage. And so He wants His church just active, filled full of Him, alive to God, releasing Him wherever, whoever, you know. And the more you flow with the Holy Spirit, the more you want to. It's like a child that learns to run. When they learn to run, they just want to run everywhere, right? And that's how it is with gifts of the Spirit. When you start to flow, it's like, oh my goodness, I can do this. You know, the more you want to. And actually, the more you flow in the Holy Spirit, like a garden hose, it can't water the garden, right, without getting wet itself. The water flows, you know. You can't be a channel for God without being blessed yourself. It's true, isn't it? So I'm going to speak on four ways, really, of how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Firstly, and this is kind of obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway, we need to speak His language. It's very difficult to be in relationship with someone if you're not speaking their language. Isn't that right? And so praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit is a really important gift. It's one of the gifts that God wants just released in our lives, you know, because it helps us. You can stir yourself up using this gift. You know, as you start to pray in the Spirit, it's like you remember, I'm not just natural. God's in me. I'm not just an ordinary person. God's in me. I'm supernatural. Because feelings and circumstances, they come against us, and that you can feel so weighed down by them and so kind of discouraged. Sack of potatoes, like, can't you? You know? And when I was praying, actually, I was praying last weekend, and I had this picture. It was for you, Ash, and I didn't get the opportunity to share it with you, but it's true for all of us. You know, a hot air balloon, when it's on the ground and the balloon is deflated, it's kind of just lying there, and often, you know, the kind of basket is tied with ropes, isn't it? That's how it is. Natural life and circumstances and our feelings can make us feel so deflated, and we get so focused and tied to the ground. We're like, will I ever get airborne? You know, will there ever be a lift? The things that other people seem to have, will that ever happen for me? And praying in tongues is one of the ways we can kind of stir ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inflates that balloon. He inflates us on the inside. He brings the lift. And just as you pray like that, it's like a cutting of those ropes. So you go. You go where Jesus wants you to go. And I mean, that I have that for you, but this is for all of us. It's one of the such a special privileged gift of God that just enables us to get off the earth and stop being so earthbound and get kind of spirit conscious and, you know, be able to be led by God. You energize yourself. You kind of open yourself up to God by praying like this. That number one. Number two, this is an obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway. Just meditating on the word. Reading the word long enough so it changes you. Yes. Changes your mind. Changes how you think. Because, you know, if your mind changes, you will change. Joyce Meyer has a saying, and it's a good one. She says, where the mind goes, the man follows. Or where the mind goes, the person follows. And it's so true, isn't it? If your mind is off in one direction, you have one train of thought, you can convince yourself that that is right, and then you end up kind of going that way. So it's really important, Romans 12:2, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we have to get the word in on a daily drip feed basis so that our minds are thinking how he thinks. Whatever you feed grows. If you feed your spirit, I know you know this stuff, but I am urging you. It's not what we know, it's what we do. If you don't do it, it won't make a difference. If you feed your spirit, it will grow. And if you feed your spirit, it will end up leading your life. The Holy Spirit will lead. If you feed your flesh, and all you listen to is non-Christian music and non-Christian programs and non-Christian this, that, and the other online, it's a no surprise that flesh ends up leading your life. And I'm not looking at anybody in particular when I say that. But that's just how it is. And when flesh is leading your life, you just get into the realm of reason and emotion. And it's always grey, the realm of reason. The enemy has a field day when we're just living out of our heads. It's always grey. There's never black and white. You can kind of just about reason yourself into anything and reason yourself out of anything. And it's a very turbulent place to live emotionally. And Jesus just wants us living in the safe place on the rock of his word. He that is in me is greater. If you just meditate on that one, 1 John 4:4. He that is in me is greater. Right now, no matter how I feel, Jesus in me is greater. He's greater than this negativity coming at me. He's greater than that thing cracking off in my circumstance that is just too much to even bear, maybe. Or even just that slight irritation. He that is in me is greater. He that is in me is greater than that temptation. He that is in me is able to lift me up so I can run against a troop. The Lord showed me years ago, you know that verse in Psalm 18? I can run against a troop and leap over a wall. Emotions can be like a troop. They come against you. There's never just one. There are many. Many, and it's just like a troop that comes against you. But by my God, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. But you have to stir yourself up in the spirit. Okay, that's that. I've written down here, and it's so true. The only way, I don't know why it's taken me so long to realize this, but the only way I can live for him is full belt. 100%. Like if I'm driving a car, my foot has to be to the floor. If I'm a little bit in neutral gear, you can't live for him in neutral gear. You can't coast the Christian life. No way. The enemy will pick you off like that and you will go down. And you'll end up in church, but more at home in the world. We have to go full belt for him. Full belt, intentional, his way. But when we're filled full of him, let me tell you, it's a joy. You know, the things that you think, oh, I don't really want to let go of that. Do you know what? You look at it and think, oh my gosh, what was I doing hanging on to that? It's the classic, isn't it? Like the dog with the old rotten stinking toy. And here's a steak. Why are you hanging on to that? I just want to give you this. Oh, but I prefer my stinking toy. I don't know if that communicated, but we hold on to our old stinking habits and old stinking things that we think are good. And like that brilliant song that we sang this morning, what we think is the best, he gives better because he is better, you know? Number three, I'm going to take a drink. Let us take a drink of the Spirit this morning. Keep drinking. Use your imagination. Right? God's given us an imagination. The enemy wants to hijack it to use it for his purposes. Anxiety, all sorts of crazy ideas that take us off track and away from God and his plan. We need to use our imagination to imagine his thoughts, imagine his promises. You know, what does that look like? If you take, I was using the Romans 12 earlier, you know, about being transformed, not conforming to this world, being transformed, totally changed by the renewing of our minds. And it goes on to say, proving evidence that God's will is good, pleasing and perfect. Well, what does that look like? Imagine what that would look like in your life, you proving that God's will is good, pleasing and perfect. I mean, imagine it, your friends, your neighbours, your work colleagues, seeing, well, they're a Christian, things somehow work out for them. You know, I'm not talking about winning the lottery or taking early retirement and driving around in an expensive car. I'm talking about blessed, provided for, you know, just at peace, secure, the things of life not phasing us. That's a testimony. That's the wisdom and the goodness of God on display in our lives. No good thing will he withhold from him whose walk is upright. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things be added unto you. Great peace have those who love his law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Imagine that. Imagine what that would look like in your life. I just love the word so much, and I'm walking it out by the grace of God. Things don't trip me anymore. The old stuff in my life that used to trip me and take me down, it doesn't happen anymore. Great peace have those who love your law. What about imagining yourself as the salt of the earth and the light of the world? I mean, I like to imagine wherever I go, whoever I'm with, I bring a God flavor. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, things that were bitter in conversation turn sweet because I'll just add a little bit of Jesus in whatever way is appropriate at the time, spirit led. When you go into a room, you don't suck the energy out of it. You know how some people, like, you know, it's like, ugh, there. And they sort of drain. You feel drained by, it's awful really, but some people just carry such a heaviness about them. We can't be those people. We shouldn't be those people, you know. God is in us. We're the light of the world, Jesus says it. So when we walk into the room, we bring a lightness and a brightness. You know, we bring some hope thoughts and some Jesus thoughts. And the conversation may be down and negative, and there may be some genuine needs going on. But we can always say, do you know what? I'm going to pray about that. That's awful. I'm so sorry that's going on in your life. But I know a God. For him, nothing is too difficult. I'm going to pray about that. A lightness and a brightness. Salt of the earth, light of the world. But you know, whatever we feed on, it comes out. Jesus said, if you feed on me, you will live because of me. And if we're feeding on him, there's like a life, a God quality life about us that we are then able to give in a very, not in a try hard way. Do you know what I mean? In a kind of a, it just spills out. If you're filled full, it spills out. If a glass is filled full, if you imagine this glass was filled right to the top, the slightest nudge, it would spill over. That's what Jesus wants in our life. So filled full, the slightest nudge of the Holy Spirit, he just spills out. Here, there, and everywhere. And so we need to imagine. I really challenge you to do this. It helps me. I just give that to you as a thought. Imagine yourself being who God says you are. Imagine yourself doing the things God says you can do. Number four, it's a bit of a teach this morning, but we are going somewhere, and I trust that you're receiving through this. As much as I'm getting thirsty up here, I'm praying this is going on spiritually out there. You're getting thirsty. Do you know, I was relaying to PJ on the way in. I had a neighbour years ago. He wasn't saved. And he was a dog walker, and that's kind of how I got chatting to him. And one Friday night, he had a glint in his eye and a spring in his step. He said, "I'm off to the pub. I've got such a thirst." I said, "Oh, you know, have a nice time." But, you know, we need that going on in the spirit. "I've got such a thirst. I just got to get a drink." Yeah. You know? Really? Ephesians 5, don't get drunk on wine. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no nasty side effects with him. Oh, no. You don't need a paracetamol after being filled full of the Holy Spirit. Number 4, surrender, right? Surrender. This is really not a side issue. Crucial. Crucial. We've got to get to a place where we are beyond trusting ourselves. The problem is we all still trust ourselves quite a lot. Yeah. Lean on our own reasoning quite a lot. But we've got to get to the place where we're beyond trusting our own feelings, our own reasoning, and even what our circumstances are talking to us. No matter what your circumstances say, no matter what your feelings tell you, or what your head tells you. Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but the life I live out in this flesh and blood body, I live by faith in Jesus." So I don't live by faith in me. I can dip into it, I'll be honest. I can dip into leaning on my own understanding and confidence in what I think and what I can reason out. But I know my safe place and my blessed place is living out my days, leaning on him, all my weight on him, trusting in him with all my heart, not leaning on my own understanding. When we believe in him, it kind of releases him to work. And when we act in faith and obedience, he works even more. He loves it. He loves it when we obey, because he's like, "Oh my goodness, traffic light, green light, that's green for go. You're acting, I can see you, my child, acting in faith. I'm on that. I'm getting involved in that." You know, this connection and yielding brings a fresh filling of the life of the Spirit. And I've written down here, if this is not our duty, the thing is, your head tells you, "Oh, well, you know, that's how a Christian should be." This is our privilege. If we're alive to God and alive with God, I tell you, we will have the most exciting life possible. The best life possible to have in human form on this earth. Because God's no man's debtor. You can't serve God and not be blessed. You can't surrender to God and not have good things following behind you. He'll work things out. He'll find a way. He makes a way where there is no way. And so I just want to encourage you, just yield. Every day yield, and every day you'll receive. Just keep drinking so that we get under and stay under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Right, into the prophetic bit. I'm hoping this is going to equip you and help you and encourage you. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. You'll know this well, most of you, but we're going to read it and see it is actually there, black and white, in his book. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, "Pursue love." I love that it starts with love. Pursue love. Make that your goal. "And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." I don't know if you've ever wondered like me, why that one? Why not gifts of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing? Why that one? Well, turn to verse 3. Get all the answers in the word. Verse 3. "He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort." I remember this. You know the old EEC, European Economic Community? That's how I remembered it. You know, you have to have things I do, jog my memory. EEC, exhortation, edification, and comfort. Right? edification means to encourage, right? I think, I was saying to PJ on the phone, I think the biggest thing needed in the world, never mind the church, is encouragement. Because the enemy is such a source of discouragement, such a prophet of doom and gloom. He'll always take you to the worst scenario in your head. We all need, and people need, building up, encouragement. So, edification. Exhortation is a spurring on. I always see that like a sports coach, spurring on. Come on, you can do this. Come on, I'm with you, God's for you, you can do this. That's exhortation, and comfort, strength, just a whole lot of love. But the prophetic words, think of it like this. This is the most simple definition. Prophecy is speaking on behalf of God. Prophecy is speaking on behalf of God, as we've just heard, to build people up. And it's not just for the church. This can go on in the world. But not in a weird way. Not in a pressurizing way. God told me, boom. I encourage you never. I mean, most of you know this stuff and probably wouldn't do that, you know. But you can just say, you know, I'm a Christian. Well, I was praying for you and I just had this thought, or I just got this impression, and you share what you have, you know? And they might, and then personally, I say, does that mean anything to you? You know, I was praying for you, I had this thing, it's just a bit of a random thought really, but does that mean anything to you? And I tell you, it's amazing what that can open up. And, you know, if it means nothing to them, do you know what? It doesn't matter anyway, because they'll still be blessed that you were praying for them. Most people, I have to say, are very open to being prayed for, you know? They want to be prayed for. They'll take anything going, you know? A lot of people, particularly in what we've been through in this pandemic, well, if there is anything out there, you know, I'm open. If you say God's good, yeah, I'm open. Pray for me by all means. So even if it doesn't mean anything to them, you still bless them by praying for them. But the prophetic is like a gate. It's an entry point for God into a person's life. It really is. And so you just need to be confident. I carry God. You know, really, to meditate on, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I carry God. I can hear God. I can see things in the spirit. And as we speak out the things that God gives us, we're not just releasing his words, we're actually releasing his presence. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. When you give a prophetic word, you're actually releasing God, the person, into somebody's life. It's more than words, it's presence. You can actually cause somebody to have an encounter with God. It's just phenomenal. Wherever you are, at the school gate, in the office, in the car park, sitting having a coffee. It's like, I was just praying for you. And does this mean anything to you? Right there and then, as you share that, they have a God encounter. It's just amazing what we can do. And we can all do this. We can all prophesy. Just say to the person next to you, or if there's nowhere, you know, if it's all a bit socially distanced, say to yourself, I can prophesy, you know. I can prophesy. This may be a new thought for some of you, but you know what? It's a good one. And the Lord wants us prophesying. So, 1 Corinthians, you should be there, 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 31. We're nearly finished. 1 Corinthians 14, 31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. All may be encouraged. Now, we're going to actually spend a bit of time prophesying for one another at the end. And you may initially, now I've said that, start to freak out and panic. And I just really encourage you, don't do that. Don't get focused on the doing of it. Because I'm going to help you a bit more with this. But God lives in you. You can hear him. You can see things that he shows you to build people up. Love is always God's motive. Always. Always. He loves more than we even realize. His heart is so full of love. And he just wants to get that great big heart to people and let people know. And so if love's our motive, he will flow. But if you get focused on giving a prophetic word, you kind of get a bit stressed and panicky. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said when PJ said we were all going to prophesy at the end of the meeting, I just panicked a little bit, and I was just kind of thinking about that. But she said then when it came to it, and I just saw, you know, this person, and I just felt such compassion for them, and I just started to pray. It's like, he just flowed, and then I just got this picture. And that's just how it is. And I think very often it's helpful almost not to think of the word prophetic. It's just an inspired thought. And it starts with an inspired prayer, okay? So you pray an inspired prayer, a spirit-led prayer, and then you get this inspired thought. And it can be a picture, or it can be a scripture, or it can be just an impression, or it can be, you know... I'll share a testimony with you. I won't say who it is, but leaving the building last week, PJ turned around and said, "Ah, so-and-so, did you get a prophetic word?" And she said, "No." And so PJ put her bag down. She said, "Come on, let's pray." And I was like, "Right, all right then." But I really wanted to because I love this person. And I put my bag down. We started to pray, and I just laid my hands on, put my hand towards her and prayed. And, you know, as soon as I prayed, I got the picture of a baby deer. And to me, it took me right back to Bambi. Those of you of a certain age will remember Disney. It was a Disney, Walt Disney film, Bambi, right? Bambi, do you remember Bambi's mother got shot? And it was all so sad and traumatic as a child watching that film. But it stuck with me, and that's what I thought of when I saw this baby deer. That's all I had, but I started to pray. And you know, as soon as I started to pray, I just knew the Lord was saying, she's not Bambi. She thinks she's Bambi. She's not Bambi. She's grown up. She's not the baby by herself. She's grown up. She understands. She's more mature than she realizes. She understands things in the spirit. She can actually lead others. She can hear stuff. She can see stuff. And I just prayed this out over her, and I'm trusting she was so blessed. But it all started from me seeing Walt Disney cartoon deer. Do you know what I mean? But you might just have a little thing, but you just start with what you have. And as you start to pray, it's like he just flows. He gives you the thoughts. He just comes out, and it's just an inspired prayer. But then you get an inspired thought, and then you just share it. And if you don't have the interpretation, please don't make it up, because people get into all sorts of messes with that. You just give what you're given. Prophetic words are never to correct somebody else. They're never an opportunity to kind of get over your agenda and your thoughts and opinions about that person. And it shouldn't be directional stuff, okay? Like, I believe the Lord's saying you need to get married. I believe the Lord's saying you need to move house. I believe the Lord's saying, you know, it's not that. It's just all believers prophesying is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And it just enables them to go another 1,000 miles. But in the strength of God, in his ability, so inflated like that hot air balloon, chops away, ropes cut, I can go. I just receive such energy and strength in God, I can go another 1,000 miles on that. So I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let me just say this. If a prophetic word leaves you feeling flat or heavy, it's not from God. If a prophetic word, so-called, leaves you feeling confused or anxious, it's not from God. You might be confused if all you get is a picture and there's no interpretation, but you won't feel anxious about it. I've had stuff where the interpretation didn't come at the time, just somebody gave me something. I was like, oh, I don't really get that. But I was quite excited about it. Do you know what I mean? So, confused and anxious is not God. Confused but quite excited, probably God. You know, but whatever you're given, you go and you pray about it yourself, you know. Nearly finished. I just want to make sure I've given you... Oh, one of the things, I'll read it to you because you've stood. Verse 32, it says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, right? When you give a prophetic word, it will sound like you. Like to me, I saw a baby deer, I'm straight back to Disney and Bambi, okay? It kind of takes on something of you. And God's all right with that. In fact, he's quite happy about that. He knows if I give them that, they're going to think that. But that's okay. And amazingly, we get to decide who and how and when spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. But you can flow with God. I want you to be excited because it is so exciting. How amazing. We can hear God. We can give what we see and we can give what we hear. And what we give from God, right, boom, there and then, gives them an opportunity to meet with God and receive. Go 1,000 miles further in the strength of God. Compassion's a key. If I feel compassion with something, I know God's on that. If I feel like a compassion, it's like, ah, that's for them. I go towards them. And then God just starts to flow. So I'm just going to pray for you. And then in a socially distanced way, you're going to go and pray for somebody else. I know this is a challenge for some of you. Online, what I encourage you, just pray for whoever you're with. And if you're not with anybody, ask the Lord, you know, who shall I pray for? Just begin to pray for somebody, maybe a work colleague or a family member. And ask the Lord to give you something for them. That you can then bless them with. We're going to finish the online service here. We love you so much and we're hoping we see you very soon. But the rest of us are going to prophesy. But I'm just going to pray. Oh, Jesus, you're amazing. You're the living God. Every one of us born again here, we can hear your voice. Thank you. Just thank him. You can hear his voice. Jesus said, you're my sheep. I'm your shepherd. And my sheep hear my voice. They know me. Thank you, Lord. We just pray, Father, for the release of the gift of prophecy in this place, Lord. And also to people at home who are hearing you. Lord, just let us see things. Just you pray yourself. Say, Lord, I want to see stuff. I want to hear stuff. I'm open and I want you to use me to be that channel of blessing into somebody else's life. Flow through me, Lord, in a way that's just going to be amazing because you're amazing. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.